It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. This is Gemma Kaneko because Dakota is somewhere. He's away. No, he's in Los Angeles, so if you see him, say hi. So I'm here with Ian Kay.
Hi.
You're not in LA.
I'm in a different chair than usual, though.
I know.
Did I take your chair?
In different spots. It's very weird. I took Dakota's chair.
We rotated.
So Ian moved up one. And now I'm also here with Ben Cosman.
Hello.
Welcome. Thank you for sitting at the very end.
This is where I always sit.
It's not even a change for you.
No, this is normal.
Well, how are you guys doing?
Good.
You're excited about the Cup Forecast hosted by me?
Always excited.
Very excited.
Not going to talk about any Disney-related topics today. I do have a question, though, to start you guys off. It is a Dakota pioneered topic, though. Meal or no meal?
Yes.
Ooh, okay.
The Yarmouth Dennis Red Sox's hurler is a burger with canned cheese.
Hmm.
Canned cheese. All right. Between two halves of a jelly donut. And Mike Clare, our very own Mike Clare, went and tried one in the Cape Cod League, and he ate it. He said it was good. Would you guys eat it, meal or no meal?
I'm going to say no meal.
No meal.
I'm usually all about these sort of over-the-top ballpark foods, but I have a real problem mixing savory and sweet.
Really?
Yeah. I want either all of one or all of the other. I don't know. The two screw with my brain. I don't like it.
Even though Claire said that the jelly was like a sweet aioli, you're not into that?
Sweet aioli sounds not good to me.
Okay, no meal from Ben. Ian?
No meal.
Whoa, why?
Do not mix my dinner and my dessert into one item. I want them separate like Ben.
That's like the whole point, though, of Willy Wonka's gum. Remember the gum?
It sounds bad.
Yeah.
To turn violet into a blueberry, so maybe you would turn into a jelly donut.
My other issue is that in a lot of cases, like, the worst part of a burger is the burger.
Really?
Where it's like, yeah, I like the bun and all the toppings and the condiments. Like, I'm an over-condimenter in almost all situations, so I'm a fan of all that, but like the actual patty, unless it's like a really, really good one, I could take or leave. And in this case, you're getting the donut with the patty in it and possibly canned cheese. But no lettuce, tomato, onion, pickles, ketchup, mustard, relish, bacon, whatever else you put on it.
All right, I think that makes sense to me. Because now that I think about it without some kind of green thing in it, it makes me less excited.
There's nothing green within a mile of that.
No.
So what about you? Is it meal
or
no meal?
I guess I was going to go meal at first because it kind of sounds interesting, but maybe I would only eat it as a slider, you know?
Okay.
Like a mini jelly donut. And yeah, because without, you know, some kind of vegetable to cut through it, I think it might be a little hard to digest the whole thing. Wow. All right, well, I guess we've all gone no meal on this, which is really surprising and sad. Sorry, burger.
Michael Clare went meal, though.
Yes, he did go meal, and he loved it. And if you want to read about how he loved it, you can check it out on MLB.com/cut4. All right, and now on to the double bubble and sunflower seeds of the podcast, which is what I like to call it. So it's the Olympics right now. The Rio Olympics are in full swing. It's been pretty fun. A lot of great American victories. A lot of great victories from other countries as well.
Mm-hmm.
Some really good national outfits in the Parade of Nations at the beginning. A lot of countries choosing to embrace purple, which I think should just happen more in professional sports. But the question I have for you guys today is, if a baseball player, a Major League Baseball player, was just dropped into Rio right now, who would do the best and what event would he do the best at, Ben?
So, I have a caveat to mine, but I'm going to say Giancarlo Stanton and crew.
Okay.
And the caveat is that I think crew, it's better to be actually kind of light. And I don't know how much Stanton weighs, but I think he's, you know, he's just pure muscle, so he probably weighs a bit more than crew guys. But I think he'd take up two or three positions on a crew boat or a rowing, whatever they're called.
Yeah.
Just because I just want to see those arms in motion. I just want to see him, you know, rowing through the water, and I think he would do really well.
That's a pretty good choice. Yeah. I mean, he just generally looks like an Olympic athlete anyway. Right.
He's got the physique. I don't know if are oars as heavy as bats. Are they heavier? I don't know.
They're pretty big.
Yeah.
They're longer. And they're really long. Yeah.
Yeah, but I still think he could do it.
I'm picturing him like standing in the boat alone, like rowing one, and stepping back and rowing the next one, just doing it solo.
I think he could do it. I think he would medal.
Which one? Which medal?
I mean, I say gold.
Why not?
But
why not?
I think bronze is realistic.
Oh, yes. That's definitely the most realistic outcome of this scenario. All right, Ian. Who's your Olympic athlete?
Also, slight caveat because he's suffering through some injuries, but I would like to see Clayton Kershaw on the Olympic table tennis stage.
Mm. Oh, yes. This is a really good choice.
Kershaw, well-known aficionado of ping pong, has an annual charity table tennis tournament, which is coming up later this week. I feel like his physique is definitely lends itself to ping pong, and that kind of like long, lanky body type is what a lot of the ping pong guys have.
Mm-hmm.
And he can really like put the spin on the ball pitching. I feel like he's got a pretty good idea of how those angles would work. I think he could definitely medal.
What medal would he get?
Silver.
Silver. Oh. Who would beat him? Because he is also the most competitive ping pong player I've ever witnessed.
I know, but like, have you seen these Olympic table tennis guys?
But he's like a monster. They don't even show emotion though, and Kershaw just—he's just a beast at the table on the clubhouse.
Wait, there's one other that I would like to see.
Mm-hmm.
Can we get Rougned Odor and Jose Bautista to settle their differences in like an Olympic like Taekwondo or Judo setting? Where there's like it's like kind of violent, but there's like official rules and like sanctions to it, and it's like relatively safe.
I'm interested. I would also watch some fence.
Fencing would be awesome.
That would be really good.
Yeah. I feel like judo, because it's like all about the technique and like concentration.
Mm-hmm.
Just the two of them.
I like that would sort of be just a special event. No medals.
It wouldn't actually be in the Olympics at all.
It's just like kind of outside the city.
Yeah.
You know, on a random beach. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. I hope that happens. You know, just get an off day, you guys. Go out and do that. I also had Giancarlo Stanton on my list, just because he seems like he could probably do well in any event that you just dropped
him
into.
Did you have a specific event?
No, maybe not basketball. That's the only one I was like, he probably isn't as great at as basketball players are at it, you know? I thought there's a speed walking event, right, in the Olympics. So I feel like almost any Major League Baseball player could probably do that.
Yeah.
Some would obviously be better than others. I had Jerrod Dyson on my list. But apparently he's actually a really slow walker, just in his day-to-day life.
A fast runner and a slow walker?
Yeah, just he goes everywhere very slowly is what I've heard in the world.
He's conserving energy.
I guess, to just run really quickly for 7 seconds.
Yeah,
got to do that. But I actually think that my choice for parachuting someone into the Olympics would be Jonas Cespedes.
Mm-hmm.
All around strength, he could do whatever. Golf is an Olympic sport now.
That's true.
So he could do that.
He might have to do it on the DL.
Yeah. But I think that would be fun to watch, at the very least.
Definitely.
Yes. Yeah. Those are my Olympic choices. Do you guys think that you could win a medal in any Olympic sport?
I don't know. Living in New York, I've gotten pretty good at speed walking. So maybe that.
All right, I'd like to watch that. I'd like to watch you go up a couple against all of our baseball Olympic choices in speed walking.
Yeah, I'll take that challenge. Yeah. I think the hardest part is I did speed walking in track, and you have to keep one foot on like flat on the ground every time. Like, you can't lift up both feet at the same time. It's very stressful.
Is that the rule of speed walking?
I'm pretty sure. At least it was when I was
in
high school track.
You can't. Sorry. I'm probably just understanding this completely.
Yeah, I'm doing a bad job explaining it.
How does anyone lift up both feet at the same time?
No, you can't.
Well.
You're not allowed to levitate?
Well, when you run, you're kind of in. I don't know.
Is this like we need like those photos that show how horses have all their feet off the ground while they're running?
Right.
Okay.
People do that, I think.
All right. Okay. Well, I accept all of these choices so far. I feel like we've done a good job. Now it's time to move on to our next topic. It has nothing to do with the Olympics. It has to do with our post-Olympic lives after we're all covered in athletic glory of all of our medals and various championship jewelry accessories. The Mariners retired Ken Griffey Jr.'s number last Saturday, and it was great. It was a really nice ceremony, and they all had commemorative patches on their uniforms. They all wore number 24 during batting practice. So my question to you is, when you retire from your blogging careers, what will your commemorative patch look like? Ian?
So I had this idea, which I'm hoping to put into reality, in that it would be a patch commemorating my abilities, world-renowned abilities, to like acquire food at inappropriate hours of the night. So I think that what it would be, it'd be like a clock. And the hour hand would be pointed to, like, you know, between the 3 and the 4. mm-hmm. like that hour of the morning, and then, but instead of an hour hand, it would be like a slice of pizza, and just pointed to that time to commemorate all the times that I was able to eat pizza in the early hours of the morning.
Would the patch glow in the dark?
Yes.
Good.
To help you find your way to the pizza. Yes. Functional.
Obviously.
That's good. I like that.
I really like that. How big would it be?
Huge. It's a shirt. It's like a, it's not even a patch, it's an entire shirt.
It's the size of a real pizza.
Yes. Yeah, the pizza slices to scale. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Good, all right. All right. I would buy that from
mushrooms and onions.
Nice.
Ben?
So, as a blogger, mine is obviously going to be me and a computer. Mm-hmm. And I would probably be leaning too close to the computer, like my face right next to the screen, because I do that when I'm alone. Not in the office, because I try to have some semblance of respectability. But and then there would also be a huge pile of discarded plastic water bottles sort of surrounding me as I sink lower and lower into it. Because my desk is just, I just leave them there until I have to. I can't walk around them anymore, and I have to take them back and get my nickels. So that would be my patch. Very basic, but...
I like it.
Is there anything else that your teammates would wear to commemorate your time? Like, you know, everyone wore number 24. Would you just give everyone an entire pizza?
Oh.
How would you make your mark?
I would have everyone wear glasses. But it would also be my prescription. Because I find it really annoying when people wear fake glasses.
Yes.
I think it is,
I'm also against this.
So they have to be prescription and my prescription and let people see through my eyes.
Literally see through your eyes.
Do you have one of those, like, other people can wear them, they help, or is it, like, a really specific one?
No, it's specific, yeah, okay. Every time.
Good, so everyone just be dizzy and walking around and bumping into stuff?
Yeah, that'll be fine.
Right.
They'll live like me? I do.
I'm just, like, kind of nearsighted, so anyone can put on my glasses, and, like, everyone sees better, because it's just, like, easier to see far away.
Oh.
So everyone puts mine on, they're like, oh, like, I should get these. It's nice. But they're real, they're not fake.
Mm-hmm, okay.
I need them for driving.
Good. I'm glad. I'm glad you drive safe. I also have extremely unhelpful glasses. These actually are a special lens that look thin, but actually they're, if I took them off, I couldn't see either of your faces right now. We're very close together. So my patch, I thought of something that I also do that I'm known for, which is reading all the time, always, sort of at inappropriate occasions, actually. I was just reading this book, and one of the characters learns how to cook but is really bad at it because every time he's supposed to do something, he'll just get bored and go read. And that is what I am like in my life. I will stand at my stove holding a book and stirring pasta, and then it'll just overcook and I'll forget about it. And I like read while I'm waiting for the shower to heat up. There's no time that I'm not holding a book. I ruin a lot of books this way. Everything's covered in pasta sauce. It's a disaster. So I think that my patch would have to be me, like, I would probably be at bat, right? But reading, and then I would get hit with the pitch because I would just get bored waiting for it to come.
Realistic.
It would take 2 seconds, and I'd still be like, oh, I can read two sentences. I could read half a paragraph in this time. So that's what it would be. Maybe it would be me, like, using the book as a shield. I don't know.
Do you do that?
Yes, when I play Major League Baseball, that's what I do. All the times that I've had Major League at bats.
This sounded like a podcast ad for one of those, like, read to you services. Yeah. Like, are you reading while stirring pasta?
I'd be like trying, if I was playing Major League Baseball, like, can I listen to audiobooks while I'm.
This walk up music would just be like the next four sentences of the book.
That would be really good.
It would be. You'd want to watch every one of my at bats. Like, you've never read Moby Dick? Okay, well, here's a whole season of Gems at Bats. It's time to hear Moby Dick.
Over 600 at bats, you can hear the whole book.
Yep, it would be great. And then I would win an award for performance art. Yeah. I don't know.
That would be great.
Kind of, yes.
Would you give everyone books then?
Yeah, I guess that's what I do. Maybe one page from a book, and because then you'd have to put it all together. Like, you'd have to put, you know, the chapters of my career together.
Wow.
Oh. Next level.
Yeah, that's a metaphor though.
Terrible. No one should give me a retirement celebration. I discourage it. I discourage all of it. All right. Quick question. Really important. Really important. So I'm going to need you guys to really think about this very seriously. Okay. It's a very, very serious question. So, this week, a Blue Jays fan got a tattoo, a Blue Jays themed tattoo, of his cat, whose name is Jose Meowtista. Mm. All right. If it was mandatory, by law, all baseball fans have to get an animal MLB tattoo, what animal MLB tattoo would you get? I can give you multiple choice options if you do not have one in your own mind right now. If you can't think of something that you would really love to get. Wow.
An animal-themed baseball tattoo?
Yes, an animal-themed baseball tattoo.
Hmm. Okay, I have an idea.
You so have an idea?
Yes.
Ian, you go first.
I would get a tattoo, I think on, like, my thigh.
Okay.
The Ryan Mason thigh tattoo. It would be Matt Duffy's cat, Skeeter. Mm-hmm. His name is Skeeter. Because I feel like Skeeter lives the life that we all dream of.
It's true.
He's relatively overweight, doesn't really move around a lot, and was unable to go from San Francisco to Tampa because it was too humid.
He's a big cat.
I also support never going outside, so Skeeter's a personal hero of mine. I would be proud to have him tattooed on my leg.
Would you name him Cat Duffy? Would he become Cat Duffy?
Yes.
I like that. It's a good animal pun tattoo. Yeah.
So I mentioned mine last week, actually.
Oh, yeah?
And I think I would do the bird that Randy Johnson hit with a pitch. On my back, probably. This sounds like a back
tattoo.
Full back
piece?
Yeah.
All right.
On my shoulders.
All right, here's multiple choice. You have to get an animal pun tattoo. Would you prefer Bryce Barker, Bryce Harper as a dog, Justin Perlander, Justin Verlander's cat, obviously, Jake Marisnake, or Cole Hamilster? You have to get one. It will be someplace visible. You cannot hide it. Which one would you rather have?
Does Cole Hamster still have his hair?
Yes.
I'll take Cole Hamster.
All right.
On the one hand, like, I really don't like snakes. On the other hand, like, it definitely makes you tough to have a snake tattoo.
This is true.
Like, around your bicep, curling around.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I think I go with Bryce Barker.
Oh, whoa. Would it be like a cute dog or like an angry dog?
Ferocious.
Wow.
Tough guy tattoos only for me.
Have like a barbed wire collar.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It would have, it'd be a dog wearing one of those outfits that like Bryce Instagrams.
Oh, yes.
Where it's like super fashionable loafers and purple socks and like a jacket with the button down shirt untucked.
Whoa.
The dog would be wearing that.
And it would have, yes, okay, I like the dog shoes too. This is great. This is really well thought out. Someone should get this tattoo. If one of you gets this tattoo of Bryce Barker, you should tweet at us and we will write a post about it.
Yeah.
Definitely, we will.
If you get this tattoo, you can write the post about it. You have an hour-long special cut forecast devoted to that if you get the tattoo.
If you have any really great animal baseball player mashups, let us know. Tweet them at us at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast. We will retweet the good ones. Maybe one of us will get a tattoo of them. Maybe.
Maybe.
I couldn't convince everyone here to shave Cut4 into their sideburns, so probably won't happen. But I can dream. All right. Finally, for today, our last topic is about something that happens or has been happening a lot in the last week or two. It happens all the time, but just we've seen a lot of these incidences recently, is players going into the stands while making catches. This happens a lot if you're sitting close. Obviously, we all know don't go for a ball that's in play. Mm-hmm. Don't touch the ball. But outside of that, what is the etiquette? What should you do as a fan if a baseball player is hurtling towards you extremely quickly and is clearly going to end up in your section? What are your responsibilities? Ian?
Well, safety is first. You don't want to hurt yourself. You don't want to hurt the player. Like, these guys are big and they're moving pretty fast. So safety is important. I also think that, like, you should take every opportunity possible to get a selfie in this moment.
Oh, you should do selfies.
Yes. For the reason that, like, it's once in a lifetime. Like, there's 27 outs in every baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
But you only have one chance to, like, get this picture. And, like, it's really useful to have one awesome picture of yourself doing something. Like, for me personally, I, like, once was able to take a selfie on the field at Fenway Park, like, in front of the Green Monster. And, like, that just became my, like, Twitter avatar and, like, other picture for all time. And, like, now I just never have to worry about those things again because, like, I have a picture of myself on the field at Fenway. So, like, if you have the chance to get one of those, it'll be good forever. And it's, like, you know, with some player, like, on top of you and you can do it without hurting anybody, then I'm all for it.
All right. So how close do you think it's appropriate to get if you're taking a selfie?
Like, to the player?
Yeah. Like, if they're landing in your lap, like, should you move to, like, get a better angle? Should you, like, ask them to stay in pose?
Well, it all happens really quick.
Right.
Which is why I have my phone out at all times. You never know.
All right.
You never know. As long as, like, you're not endangering, like, your health or theirs, and, like, you're not impeding them. It has to happen really fast. You can't be, like, hang out for a few minutes.
Right.
But, if you can just snap it real quick. I mean, like, even the guy who took the selfie on the video board earlier this year, like, that counts. It's the same kind of thing.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I like having that level of awareness that you're like, now's the moment that I'm going to see myself.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Ben, what do you think you should do?
Yeah, I'm similar. I was originally only going to say as long as it doesn't break the rules, you can do anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll add the safety thing because that's important. So as long as it doesn't break the rules and you're not hurting anyone, do whatever you want.
What does whatever you want entail to you?
I don't know, but I like the idea of it being sort of part of the ballpark effects. Like, different fans in different ballparks will do different things if a player comes in there, so players have to sort of adjust.
Wait, what do you mean by different things? Like how some parks throw the home run ball back, you just think some fans would just push the guy out?
I don't think you're allowed to touch the player,
right,
or, like, do that, probably, but... Yeah, maybe the section will all chant something in unison at the player, or everyone will just start making a lot of noise. But really, you know, as long as you're not breaking the rules, as long as you don't hurt anyone, you paid for your ticket, you're sitting there, have at it.
No, all right. It's Wild Wild West over there.
Yeah.
I am not pro-selfie if the guy is falling into your section. I'm not about that. I feel like, one, you could break your phone. Two...
Worth it.
Two, I just feel like it's so hard to do that quickly without just elbowing everyone around you in the face or possibly the player or getting, like, what would happen to me is I would take out my phone. My hair would get stuck on this dude's jersey. It would become this whole disaster mess. I mean, not everyone has the hair problem,
right.
But I just feel like that's what would happen. You could be wearing long sleeves. You would just get it stuck. Your phone would fall in the guy's glove, and then he would take it with him. It would just all be a disaster. I'm not pro-selfie in that situation.
So what do you, what can fans do?
I think that your main responsibility is to just not ruin the play, right? So
okay.
You should do everything in your power to just pretend you're not there, I guess. It's just try to fade away. Unless, like, there have been some moments where we've seen guys like Mike Moustakas a couple years ago in postseason flip over a railing and seen fans try to prevent him from, like, hurting
right.
himself, you know, mm-hmm. which I think that's all right. If someone's going to hit their head on something... make sure they don't, you know, etc. But it always makes me really anxious when I see guys flip into the stands and there's just concrete there,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So I want to feel like everyone in the audience, everyone in the stands has got them, you know?
So it's like,
make sure it doesn't get hurt.
It's like when you sit in the emergency exits on an airplane, you have to, like...
Yeah, it's
you
exactly
have certain
like
responsibilities
that.
If
exactly
you're sitting
like
in these
that.
Seats.
You have certain responsibilities. It's like... if you're standing in the front row of some show and someone starts crowd surfing, you can't let them fall.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
That's fair.
No time for selfies.
Always time.
You should have
Always
taken
time.
A selfie right now.
I should have.
Some suggestions that we've gotten for people who want to, who think they should go to Rio. We got Giancarlo, a lot of agreements with Giancarlo. Mm-hmm. Ichiro. Ichiro
yeah.
has been suggested.
Mm-hmm.
Since he's clearly the best at everything, I would watch him do anything.
I would watch him do speed walking. Well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Probably be really good at that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. All right, guys. We're winding down. We're winding down to the end of the Cup forecast, which means it's time for everyone's favorite game, which is sum up what we just talked about in 140 characters or less. I can't decide. I mean, you both were actually pretty solid today. No one said anything
Thank
that
you.
I really
Thanks,
deeply
Gemma.
Disagreed with, which is unusual. Other things that... Oh, Ben doesn't like breakfast burritos. We learned that
That's
earlier.
True. Really?
No, I like regular burritos.
I don't know.
I can't endorse that take.
Yeah, see, that's like pretty milquetoast, but that's enough for me to say that you have to go first.
Okay, fine. I will write my tweet first. I'm going to say, take a look at this commemorative patch of Giancarlo Stanton rowing in the Olympics as he falls into your lap at... Marlins Park.
All right. I like that. I thought that maybe we were going to be at the Olympics.
No.
Okay.
This is to commemorate his time in the Olympics.
All right. I like that. I'm on board.
This is a hard week.
You can do it.
I can do it.
Yes.
When Clayton Kershaw plays table tennis in the Olympics, be sure to take note of his Jake Marisnake tattoo.
I wish he would get a Jake Marisnake tattoo. I would love it if MLB players got tattoos of each other.
That would be great.
Yeah, it'd be really adorable.
Fully support it.
Yeah, I like that. That's really good. It's really hardcore. It's really hardcore.
Who's the first player to get a tattoo of another player?
Another player from their own generation?
Yeah.
I feel like I could see like Elvis Andrus doing it, getting like a Beltre tattoo to like mess with Beltre.
Yeah.
Or like Salvi and Kane doing
that's
the same
what that
thing.
Was my that was my
like one of those.
I imagine Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant just getting like actual. You remember those friendship necklaces with the little hearts, and then you put them together and it says best friends.
Yes,
they should get them on their arms, so then they put their arms next to each other.
I'm betting they already have those.
Yeah, they probably do. They probably do.
Some Joe Madden team bonding, just tattoos of each other.
They all get tattoos of Joe Madden on their chests. All right, I got to come up with a tweet, so thanks for giving me some time to vamp while I try to come up with something. Let's all get tattoos of Ioannis Cespedes' commemorative Olympic golfing patch.
Wow. So we're getting tattoos of a commemorative patch.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I like it.
Yes.
Me too.
They have to be like, you know, got your arm, like on your patch. That was it. That was the Cut Forecast.
It was great.
You guys did a great job. Thank you.
Thank you
for listening. Hey, this is a podcast, so you can subscribe to it if you would like to on iTunes. You can find it there. You can also find it on MLB.com's podcast page. If you liked this podcast and you want more great, fun content about tattoos and the Olympics and also just what happens in baseball and is fun, you can check that out on MLB.com/cut4. If you go to iTunes and review us, we will read the review. It'll be great. Your reviews are probably all really friendly, right? So we're going to wrap it up. I'd like to thank Ian for joining us. Thanks, Ian.
Thank you, Gemma.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks for joining me. I don't know why I said us, like we're not all here together all the time.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So that's it.
Thank you for hosting.
Aww.
You did a wonderful Dakota impression.
I should have tried to do a Dakota impression. This is my Dakota impression. Are you ready?
Yeah.
David Ortiz, Disney, Star Trek, Star Wars.
Wow, he's going to be mad.
Wrong star fight thing. All right, that's it. That's the end. Except for you, Facebook Live listeners. We have one last little moment, which we do just for you, which is instead of a tweet, what you guys get is a passive-aggressive Facebook status directed at each other. So I'll go first to give an example of how this game works. This is what my Facebook status would be after this podcast, which is some people on the Cut Forecast are Olympic gold medalists in breakfast food. Some people are not.
Wow.
Breakfast burritos are really good.
No, disagreed.
I have a passive-aggressive status.
Do it.
You go, Ian.
Taking a selfie with a player falling into the stands at a baseball game is great. If you're not too busy reading.
Wow, that is really good.
That was really good. That was really good. And it's true, so.
I'm going to go, what's with all these people wanting to control the way fans react to players falling in their laps?
Wow.
Thinking emoji face.
Is that for both of us?
That is for both of you.
It's rude. Wow. It's very rude, Ben. All right. That was it. That was it for us.
Great work.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Maybe you'll see Giancarlo in Rio. You all seem to really support that proposition, so.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.